Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Big Daily Blend Show. You know, January 10th is Houseplant Appreciation Day. And, you know, on this show, we like to talk about topics that go with the holidays of the day and really theme them up. And houseplants, Nancy and I know this from running our garden gossip show for years and even going to gardening expos and doing shows from gardening expos and going to growers and nurseries and doing interviews over, I don't know what, 17 years of the podcast, but over 20 something years in our magazine, that houseplants are key to health. We look at, oh, we got to cut our diet down. We got to do this and that. But I'm going to say this right now. Houseplants in your house are going to make you happier and they're going to make you healthier. They're going to breathe better. You're going to be less stressed. Is that not right, Nancy?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? If you actually look at them and feel their presence, which I know it sounds woo-woo, but by that, I mean, appreciate the fact that they're growing indoors and they're there to cheer you up, and they do a really good job of it if you let them.
See, they're part of the family, just like your pets. So I want to go to Margo Carrera. Margo is on our fourth Friday Nature Connection show with us every month, and we call her in on all kinds of special shows. And as soon as we knew we were talking about plants, we said, we got to call Margo. She also sent us on a quest to go to gardens across America as we travel the country on our Love Your Parks tour. But welcome back, Margo. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always fun to talk about plants, that's for sure. It's my great love.
You know, it is, but it truly is. And I want everyone to know that you have a new website name for folks to know for your Etsy. It's margocarrera.etsy.com. It's Margo, M-A-R-G-O-T, Carrera.
C-A-R-R-E-R-A.
Oh yeah, you got to do, that's right. I'm just used to it. margocarrera.etsy.com. Go check her store out there because she's got all kinds of plant lovers. You know, you've got scarves, you've got all kinds of, you know, plate warmers, all kinds of things. And also just, hey, you can buy photos there for your walls. So that's part of it, right? When you think about it, you as a photographer and plants, whether it's on your wall or if you're scared of growing a plant, the two do bring joy, right, into your home by having
Yeah, actually, I also believe in sacred geometry, and they bring that in too. They are always designed, the plants. They talk about the flower of life, sacred geometry, and so actually, part of the good thing about looking at plants and flowers and trees is they bring in things that we probably don't even think about, and work with our brain chemistry. So yeah. So, that's why maybe we feel more relaxed. Sometimes I look at a certain flower, I feel more cheerful. So it's visual. It's, energetic, as Nancy was talking about, and it's also, I lost the third one.
Well, I was going to go into the sacred. Can I go to the sacred geometry for a second? I want to go there because it is International Creativity Month. And yesterday's podcast featured Steve Piacente, also a photographer and a writer. And he basically doesn't give up on creativity. It's like it's always knocking on his door. And music. He's a musician, too. And we were talking about, you know, creativity and nature and things like that. And it's funny because we're about to do the show and, you know, we're taking care of some houseplants. And, you know, I noticed a new bud today and I'm going, oh my gosh, these leaves were geometrically amazing. Now, I've not heard of sacred geometry yet. So this is a new one for me right now, what you brought up. So I'd like to talk about that because I think, and Nancy, I know you're going to get into this. we copy nature as human beings, as society. And I don't think any invention has been done without some kind of influence from nature. You know, even the wheel, quite frankly, didn't come from without a nature being part of it. You know, when you look at leaves and how they can, they just, here's a whole frond of fern, like a fern frond, you know, hello, here I am. And it's so beautiful. And geometrically, we're going like, how did you do that? Like measurement wise, when, you know, for human beings, artists can get into it, but it can be a little messy. So I wanted to just go to you on that, because do you get creative inspiration from photographing plants, like even a rose and the bloom and how the flower bud is, or their succulents that are like, when you look at a succulent from the top down, you can see that geometry. So I don't know if I'm getting into
so much.
Your sacred geometry thing here, but maybe even that's why we have the Zen gardens from the Japanese who do the Zen gardens and understand. Am I there? Am I anywhere close?
Yeah, you're there. Even how they, how they brush the sand on the ground in geometric lines, and it's all done purposefully, and how the trees are trimmed in a certain way. You talk Zen, they're very much into the sacred geometry. It's something to Google about, folks. Just go in and you'll hear more. I'm not an expert on it. I just know that it always catches my eye when I photograph, and I'm always seeing the sacred geometry in the print when I make it. And even when I design, there's a tool that photographers use to make sure that your eye goes exactly where it needs to go. And that's sacred geometry. So it's in more than you think, and definitely, definitely, definitely in nature. Yeah.
So in the houseplants, we're bringing that into our home. So we kind of have that Zen part of it. And I know that even in feng shui, they always say like, okay, don't put cactus maybe in your house that is going to have like true pricklies, right? Like if you want people to feel welcoming to your door, you don't put the cactus. But if you want people to not stay, not come in, put your cactus. Like if you're in that, you know, kind of neighborhood, plant cactus.
If you're guarding.
Yeah. If you're guarding, you know, it is about all those little things that we tend to forget in the daily crazy life. I want to go to Nancy, because Nancy, you paint plants. You are crazy plant lady. And she always fixes every plant. And as an artist's eye, do you look at that with the geometrical parts of what plants do too?
Okay, this can sound really stupid and crazy, but I think of plants and animals as the same as people.
Sure.
They're living beings.
Sentient beings, and, yep.
Yeah, so when I look at a plant, I'm like, oh, hey, how are you doing? What's up? And then you can take a few minutes to see, okay, this person underwaters, overwaters, as we travel from house to house or whatever we're doing. This plant's too wet. This plant's too dry. This plant needs food. So when you contain a houseplant in a pot, that's not natural for them. Okay? Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It just means if you do it right. So you have to look at when you pot a plant and bring it indoors or put it on the doorstep, then you are now responsible for that plant because you have uplifted it or bought it or whatever. You are responsible. So you got to know how to water it, how to feed it, and how to move it when weather's good or bad, or shelter it. That's
just like
things.
A pet.
Exactly.
Oh,
and it's true. So I always think of them as living beings because they're living and they're a being. And without them, without plants, we wouldn't be here.
Well, is this also like when you
So,
think about kids going when in school, remember they'd give kids like eggs to take care of the eggs like they're a baby or whatever? Remember, I don't know. I didn't know that. But I think America, you guys did that. And I was thinking about when it was you, Margo, said it's like pets, right? The plants. And I was thinking that I was like, wow, what if, I remember as a kid when we started, you could take a bean and grow it into a seedling, and then we would like
Yeah, now
watch
you
this
care.
grow. And you see this, and you're like, oh my gosh, I did the right thing I was supposed to do every day. And you got this ownership, not ownership and nasty ownership, n ownership of action, of
Guaranteed.
helping to make something
You're a
thrive and
plant
live,
parent.
care. It was
You're a
ownership of
plant
care.
parent.
Yeah. And so it's part of the becoming a steward. And so a house plant, I think that's a really cool way for kids to understand about caring, understand about the natural world, understand, like instead of the maybe carry the egg around, maybe do a plant. I don't know. The egg thing was weird to me, but I just didn't grow up here. But what do you think about that, Margo, if like kids had plants to take care of?
It teaches them responsibility. If they
Exactly.
don't water it, it starts to brown. If they overwater it, it starts to get soggy and yellow. And so it teaches them also perhaps to communicate, or look at the plant, you said as a being, and the plant by its shape and what it's doing is telling you, yeah, I need water, or yeah, that's a bit too much, or also, I walk by a plant that perhaps I haven't watered in a while, and I get in my head, oh, you need to water. You need to water this plant. So who's communicating that to me? The plant or my, and it's not even because it's turning brown, because it could be perfectly green, but all of a sudden, the minute I walk by the plant, I hear, you need to water this plant.
Well, yeah, so there's subliminal
Because
messages, but they are
that's right.
messengers. Plants
Yes.
are messengers.
But it's a living being in your house. It's part of your family, just like a dog or a cat or a child. It's part of your family. You adopted it, you brought it in. The plant didn't come into your house and go, I live here. You brought it in. So it's up to you where the responsibility lies, and what you get out of seeing the plant every day far surpasses what you have to do to make it live
Well,
or help
here's
it
a
live.
funny quote that I found, and we always do the quote of the day. I've got a one
Uh-oh.
that ties into everything we're talking about, of what plants have strength, right? They're resilient. How many times do we see photos of, a drought or a cracked piece of concrete and a flower popping out? I've
If
seen
I can
plants
fix
grow
this.
out of granite in Yosemite, So anyway, but this is funny. This is a funny quote. It's by Mitch Hedberg. I don't know who you are, Mitch, but hi. But this is a quote. My fake plants died because I did not pretend to water them. Come on, that's funny. That's funny.
Cute.
People, a lot of people have fake plants in their house, right? And
That can do it.
a lot of our plant people just like, because, here's the thing. Fake plants, it takes a few seconds to water them. And I'm not going against people having fake plants. I
Supposed
get
to
it because
water them.
sometimes some houses don't have the light in certain places where anything will grow, et cetera. So you do need some basic things. You need to, the house plants do not have to be so hard to grow. They're not. There's basic ones, orchids, mother-in-law's tongue, spider plants, Charlie plants. There's some basic ficus, palms that you can put in your plant house, but just know, do they have the right light, which is pretty easy to figure out, and how much water? Normally, depending on the season, winter, not so much, maybe once a week to 10 days, depending
Spring
on the plant.
more.
And then in spring, summer, more because they're that's the growing season, right? So you figure out the
All
light, and
winter,
in
calm it down.
all of the places you buy your plants pretty much have a good guide. It's actually easier to buy house plants than it is plants for your garden because people know this is a contained space with the same kind of lighting issues. You have light here, light there, light that. No. A garden has all kinds of microclimates, and when you get it, if you're buying from a big box store for your garden, good luck. But some of them, some are tried and true, but like I know when we lived in the high desert, they thought the high desert was the same as the low desert. Nope, not true.
No, that's why
So,
one's high and one's low.
yeah. So everything has a microclimate, and that becomes a little tricky. But the one place you can start is in your house. One biggest mistake we do is overwatering. So it's just getting into
Yeah.
that rhythm, learning this one thing. Now, believe it or not, an orchid is one of the easiest plants
Oh
to
my gosh.
actually
Yeah.
live. Now, if you're worried, put them, if you have a bathroom with some good light, not direct sunlight, they want a little filtered light. They like light, they like humidity. Put your orchid in your bathroom where it can get a little bit of light, but it will love that you're taking a shower. That little baby will go, I like the shower. I
They
don't
like
want my feet
tropical
wet. Do
mist.
not put me in a swamp, but I love having that swampy mist. I love that.
They love misting. They love the
They
moist.
love it. Yeah. And
I
you only
did
have to
say
water it
moist
like every 10
atmosphere.
days. Oh,
And
some, they even
but
did it like put
not
an ice
well,
cube in it, right? One ice cube.
I don't know about the ice cube.
That's
I've
true.
done it. I've done it.
And it
And
as
I
it does
always
actually work.
It does, but I always felt really guilty because it might shock the plant.
No,
But
because
that's
they
just
come from cold
me.
climates too.
Most orchids do come from this continent and other Asian continents as well. So we always think that the orchid comes from somewhere outside of the States, but not always.
We have
A
them
lot
in
of
our
them are
parks.
native.
So can you mist it with a sprayer
Yes,
occasionally?
and
There you
that was
go.
something I was going to say. One thing, what we do forget is just like your fake plants, you need to dust your fake plants just to have a clean house, right? Same thing with your plants. They do not want to have a bunch of dust on their leaves. So just clean them, mist them. You know, depending on the plant, but most of them like to
Otherwise,
be
they don't
misted,
get to breathe.
like a little spray bottle of water. Just, and I always say, give them the water you drink versus the water out of your faucet, depending on where you live. But if you filter your water, you may want to do it for your plants too. We have taken, you know, Nancy and I travel the country. We document parks and public lands and plants. And also pet sit as we go, not for money. It's a wonderful thing. TrustedHouseSitters.com, check it out. So we do go and plant sit too. And we've had people who have gotten like 100 plants in their house. And water,
That's too much
apparently,
fun.
depending on their house plant, was a big deal. This plant has to have distilled water. This plant has to have that water. And we're like, man, but it she was right. She was true. It was a learning curve. But that's intense. But if you're just starting, get a plant like an orchid. It's a great house gift to give to a host if you're going to a dinner party too. There's those ones in the grocery store. Yeah, you ice cube. Why they brought up the ice cube was that you only put an ice cube every 7 to 10 days because you didn't overwater the orchid. That was the point.
Here's the thing with orchids, just because of how they look, they stepped up. I mean, they have an elegant and beautiful look, and you feel like the onus is on you to, like, you feel like this plant is beyond my capability
Because
because
they're
of
tropical and the flowers.
they're beautiful, right? So you feel like, oh gosh, I don't know if I can do this. But if you take a minute to research it, you find out it's one of the easiest plants to grow.
And We have local native ones. I want to bring this up. Everglades National Park actually has one of the most diverse collection of orchids in the country. And I've actually
And it's
photographed them.
natural.
And I hate to say it, but I was swapping cameras and learning a new camera that day. And so my photos suck of them. But I do have photos of bromeliads, which is another house plant you can grow. Just know that they do die out once a year. So their bloom goes away and then you're going to want to get a new one. So they're kind of an annual, like literally an annual, but they're also very plant house plants clean your air. They're like your lungs in your house, especially if you have mold and dust and things like that. These plants will help you with air energy, make you feel good. Like Margot was talking about that Zen calm. Your office definitely need house plants, but I'm going to go to the orchid. Orchids are typically blooming between January and April, depending on when you got your orchid and where you are. This is the season of orchids. They are the flowers of the gods. But think about it, going to a place like the Everglades and seeing orchids in the wild in our country, like Nancy says, you think you have to go to an exotic jungle. No, you don't. But you can have them in your home. We've taken care of orchids in Wisconsin in the snow, and these babies are blooming and going, hello, it's almost time for Valentine's Day, and look at me. I'm the flower of the gods. I am beautiful. And they are. But when you go to parks, look at these plants in your area. Most nurseries and places that are actual growers will take our plants. And Nancy and I have been on hikes. Mount Rainier, Nancy, remember our hike? With our friend, she took us out, Carolyn, and showed us all the plants in the alpines. We were up in the high alpines area, and she was like, well, this is what we're doing at our nursery, and we're cultivars. We make it that people can grow them at home as close to the native plant as can be, but most people's homes are not up in the altitudes that Mount Rainier is in, right? So, what can we do that goes with the landscape and the microclimate of the land that is easy for homeowners? And you don't have to own a home, right? To grow. And so it was really interesting because a lot of times we get all anti-commercial as environmentalists, but actually everyone's trying to make it easy for us to grow these plants. And that is the same as orchids, right, Nancy?
Orchids are found everywhere on Earth except for the Arctic.
Ooh.
Okay, think about that.
So,
Every habitat on Earth except where there's glaciers and ice. So, Bob's your uncle. You can grow an orchid in your home, but you do have to supply, the right temperatures as far as don't overheat, don't underheat. You have to supply food or water. Okay. So don't overwater, don't underwater. And remember, how does this food get like, how does the plant get the food? It's, because it doesn't have bugs buzzing around in your
It's kind of
house
like
and
an
get
air
food.
plant. It's like an air
Yeah,
plant almost,
it
right?
needs food. Okay, so once in a while, you need to give it some food.
Orchid food. Do orchid soil, orchid
Yeah,
food specific.
and then just be aware of where you place it, because I notice that people place plants in a corner, hanging from a corner, hanging here and there, which makes sense because it's convenient. But does your plant have a light source? Does it get sunlight? Does it, if it doesn't, there's easy solutions for that. You can get little lights that you attach so that they get some form of light so they can procreate, and they need light
They don't
in order to
necessarily
feed
need like
themselves.
blazing sunlight, right? So that's
No,
again what's
but
easy about indoors versus outdoors, right? So you can
they
get
need
light
some
sources,
kind
but
of source of light in order to manufacture their own food, which they do. So, and orchids are one of, apparently which I find really interesting. One of the
Uh-oh.
easiest plants to grow. No, they're one of the easiest plants to grow because they're so beautiful and complex in how they look. You think, oh, dude, I can't do that. Because their flowers are so amazing. And then the other thing is, that they don't bloom every month. So you gotta be patient.
They're seasonal.
So this is a life lesson then, actually, if you think
Yeah.
so. Basically, we're going
And
from houseplants to actual just a show and orchids here, which is fine, and because it is about a life lesson. So like if you had a pet orchid, basically, you're going to learn, hey, I'm going to wait until this time and I'm going to take care of it and I'm going to get this bloom. So it's a life lesson in patience, care, compassion, communication. Margot, I know you love orchids. Our puzzle of the day is your orchid jigsaw puzzle we have up on our website, and everyone, the link's in the show notes. But what do you think about that? Like the lessons of life from plants.
Oh gosh, I think they give you wonderful lessons. Yeah, because I'm learning growing a vegetable garden, and you learn patience. You learn how to actually take care of your own body when you learn how to take care of the soil of the plants that you're taking care of. Because we all have microbiome, right? Our, you know, we're the soil that grows the plants, its microbiome has to be correct for the plant to grow well. It has to have certain nutrients, certain vitamins, and certain pH. Well, the human being's body has to have certain nutrients, vitamins, pH. And if you give it the wrong thing, too much sugar or something
Oh,
like
this is
that,
like humans.
then
They get sick.
or soda, you change the
Oh,
pH. Yep,
soda.
sorry.
Are you drinking just
Yeah.
because I bought
Acid.
Nancy?
Make it acid.
Listen, Margot can hear things. She knew I was telling Nancy before you came on the show. I have to get over my gummy bear thing for driving and stop
Oh,
doing it because of the
stop.
sugar.
You need to
And
stop
I
that.
know. And I said, well, I could do licorice. And Nancy's like,
Drives
do you
me
know what's in
crazy.
licorice? It's called sugar.
No,
You can't do it.
you
You
can't
know,
sugar
so.
lowers, by the way, the sugar lowers the immune system,
Oh.
when it's taken for several hours. So the more sugar and the more time you do it, the more you're lowering your immune system. So
Are you telling me
sorry,
why of the
guys.
flu?
Thank you.
You got me
No,
on why of
thank
the flu
you.
right now.
Thank you
See,
and thank you because I watch it and I'm like, stop it.
but this is the same with plants, and it's, but I don't want to get to, I want people to understand that this plant, you don't need to coddle it, right? You've got to
No.
let it be free and let it be
But
it. So an
you
orchid, let's just
do
stick with orchids. Orchids expect
light
7 to 10
water
days.
food, light water
And
food, light water food.
sometimes we screw up as plant parents, and you're gonna have to go get another one, but don't stop trying.
Yeah.
I would say get more than one at a time.
And
So that when
there
one
is another
goes, you just
thing.
go, okay, I still got these and I'm really sorry to the one, and have a little funeral party or whatever. But you're, when you first start, you are probably going to overwater just in caring.
Sure.
And that's the
Just
real thing. People overwater and caring too much.
okay, here's the secret to watering. You have a finger. Stick the finger
In
in the
the soil.
soil.
Yeah, is it
Okay.
dry?
Is it dry? Is it overly wet? If you can feel wet, do not water.
Sure.
Remember the
Nancy's
water
always like,
stinks.
whenever we go to do a pet sit,
Drives me
Nancy's like,
crazy.
don't worry, I'm going to go around and do the finger test. And people look at
Yeah.
her and I'm like, yeah, I'm poking your soil. It doesn't matter
That's
if it's
right.
indoor or
Well,
outdoor,
okay,
I'm
maybe
poking your
the way I'm
soil.
saying it, but if you
She's
put your
right.
finger in the soil, You can feel, oh, mildly damp. Okay, 2 days from now, it's going to need water, maybe even tomorrow, especially if a household heater on or something like that. Depends on where the plant is placed, you know. So use your finger because you can feel moisture, okay? And then you can feel like, oh, wow, this is too wet, especially if it's in a plant with a plate underneath and the plate is full of water, you already know it's overwatered.
And the roots rot. That's what
Yeah,
happens.
exactly.
Yeah, you get
So,
root rot. They
yeah,
can't breathe.
so
They can't breathe.
exactly. It's like being underwater when it's a plant meant to be above water. Oh. So just take care and don't, oh, I'm going to water because I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. So let me throw a gallon of water in instead of like a quarter cup. No, don't do that. It kills your plants. It don't do that, you know?
But they've also been, I want to bring this up about orchids, that they're actually really good for you. In Chinese medicine,
Easy to.
Ayurvedic medicine, they have been used for your skin, for depression, indigestion, heart disease, high blood pressure, kind of, whatever, all that, like orchids, the actual plant has been used in ancient medicine,
Well,
which is
you're
pretty
gonna go
amazing.
there.
Well, aloe is another house plant you could have. Aloe is super easy to grow. It multiplies like bunnies, and you can use that to drink aloe juice. You can squeeze that gel out and put it in smoothies and, if that's your thing. But it's really good for your skin and it's good for bug bites. So if you live in a place like if you live in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and you've got a nice lake in your backyard, you may want to grow some aloe and you may want to do it indoors year round because, you guys get the snow. Just saying.
Yeah. Also, it's good for burns. If you burn
Burns.
yourself, yeah, it you don't scar if you put the aloe on and the pain goes away right away.
Yeah, it's interesting about the different things that these plants can do. And also house plants are not limited to, mother-in-law's tongue and anthuriums and spider plants and orchids, which are amazing. But you could also have a kitchen garden too in your home, depending on where you live and what your light source. You could have rosemary growing and basil and, you could have your own kitchen garden where you know where your herbs come from. And I'm going to guarantee you it's cheaper than buying it from your grocery store where you don't know where it comes from. Just
Yeah,
saying.
I love it. I love going out and cutting rosemary and then putting it on the chicken, rosemary chicken or something.
And then you put it in
Is
your hair.
yeah.
Oh,
Oh yeah.
rosemary.
Grow your
Oh,
hair.
rosemary and hair love each other. They
Yes, they
do.
do.
And lavender is good for your dog beds. If you have dogs, put lavender in there. It kind of
I
like
think
scares
just
off
about all
bugs.
medicines come from plants. Pretty much.
Unless it's
If we
venom,
didn't,
anti-venom. Yeah.
I think that if we didn't have plants, we wouldn't have medicine.
No.
True, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Margo, you know the medicine world better than us.
Yeah, it's called change a molecule and then you can patent it. But the real
Oh,
healing ingredient comes from the original plant that you copied.
oh, well done. Well
Thank
done. Well, that's exactly
you.
what I was talking. Well, that's well done, but
Yeah.
isn't that the same thing as about getting a house plant, right? You're taking a plant that grows well somewhere and modifying it to through cultivation to be able to live in your house. Some plants, I mean, when we lived in South Africa and Kenya, we were able to have, I mean, that was the ultimate, honestly. We were in the
You
growing
could
zone that
grow anything.
I mean, you had plants were life, right? And they are. And it's
It
like water is life, plant is life. And so you could bring a plant inside because you always had sunlight, you always had that temperature without it being,
extreme.
you didn't have air
It
conditioning.
just
Well, we didn't have air conditioning, so maybe that
we
because
didn't
we
need
back
it.
in the day. Well, you kind of did, but in
Later,
American terms
we
now.
did.
But
No.
back in the day, you just opened your windows and lived with the way life was. This is, you had fans and whatever, so your plants liked it. So you could bring a plant from the outdoors indoors, but we live so much in the plants that it wasn't. Yeah, that's kind of interesting how we lived. Yeah, I wonder about that. So if you live in condo, like a skyscraper building in a condo, you need plants.
Oh gosh, yeah.
My
Yeah,
God, you
you need
need
to connect
plants.
with nature. Yeah, absolutely. Any way you
Man.
can. Any
And
way you
yeah,
can.
it's interesting that each just flowers across the universe, the colors mean something. Just, there's like orchids have, okay, orange means this, purple means that, green means that. But when I that while I was reading this list of what these colors mean, and then I went, oh well, what about other plants? And I find out it's the same. That certain colors mean certain things. So like purple orchids symbolize royalty and dignity. Well, hasn't purple historically always sent that message? I mean,
Because
it's
it's
a
an
thing.
odd color.
Well, it's, blue and red mixed together, so it's a coming together of like minds. All right. Now, green says good fortune, good health. Okay. Well, that's because it's green. So if you like, and yellow is like, hello, I'm sunshine. So that's not hard to understand. So when you start looking at what different colors mean to you, then you realize, okay, having flowers that bloom in your garden or in your home send you a message when they bloom. The flower
I'm
is
gonna
just,
second that. Can I share something that's really interesting about color? I think you're right on about color because one time I went on a tour and I went to Glastonbury, and I stayed in this house of this woman who practices color therapy, a psychologist, and every single room had a different color. And each room was supposed to provide a certain type of therapy. And my girlfriend and I, we got put in the pink room. And pink made us really, really happy. And we laughed all night long. And they told us that we kept them awake. And but we couldn't stop laughing and we couldn't stop smiling and we couldn't go to sleep. You know, whereas lavender, actually is known to be calming and to put you to sleep. So the people in the lavender room, they were sleeping fine. But it truly, color does affect us humans and in different ways. And a specific color will cause a specific emotion or a specific outcome. So you're right on, Nancy. Yeah.
Yeah, I
Like
remember
white,
that they always talk about pink houses in this country.
no, but painting rooms white, okay, pure white, okay. It's
It's
kind
like
of
doctor's jackets
daunting. No,
being that
yeah,
white color.
because it's
I
like
hate
you're going to
it.
get in trouble.
The
But
dentist
white
or the
orchid,
doctor, they need to stop it with the white. No,
sterile. It's sterile.
because it's sterile, it means purity.
And
Okay, are you
cold.
pure? And are you innocent? Are you pure? Do you have hope? Or do you have reverence? Are you refined enough
So it's
to be
judgmental
one?
already before
Yeah,
you go into the doctor's
exactly. So
office,
that
honestly.
color has come to, I mean, that's why doctors wear white.
I say
I'm
that's a
clean.
problem with it. I get it, but for the
It's so
patient, it's
you
already
get it,
judgmental. It's horrible.
but the white color has begun to take on a, oh, white color is
Stigma.
not doing,
It's
but
not
then,
doing very well right now, let's just
if
say,
you walked in,
unless
if
you're
you
an
walked
orchid.
in, no, but if you walked into a doctor's office and they wore black, you'd be like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, but honestly, I think nurses have gotten to, especially when you're in pediatricians' offices and stuff, they're more fun, you know. But the
Scrubs.
reality is, yeah, scrubs are fun. And listen, that's what Nancy and I wear as we travel the country. It's actually
Cool.
scrubs. The pants, oh yeah, because you can spill red wine on them and it doesn't matter.
Nonstop.
Dogs can poop or pee on them, bleed on them, you know, animals, all of that. And it's really true. It's something we truly live in. And on the road, when you're driving, you want something easy and cozy on your body. So I'm not here to do a commercial. Actually, the scrubs people did contact us once. I'm like, I'm not here to do commercials, but truly, they travel well and it's light in your backpack and all of that. So,
Okay, so let me ask you, Lisa, when you're about to go traveling, get on the road, what color scrub do you want
actually, we wear
to
gray and
wear?
blue. We have
Yeah.
turquoise, and that's for
Blue is
us.
calming. Blue
We
is
have blue, the
calming.
dark blue, which is, I
Yeah,
love
yeah,
the
yeah.
dark blue because you can also be professional about things. We have
Yeah.
gray, which is neutral. And then Nance and I both have, listen, wherever we go to a city, I look in Walmart for
I have to
specific
ask
ones.
Margo.
I'm terrible. I'm like the scrub thief. Not, I'm paying for them, everyone, just because they're taking out the old ways, right? There's
But
like this old design that we like where, it's just it's like a in, anyway there's like this whole I so I'm off and I don't care if it's the purple ones, I don't care because it's this one design that's old school now apparently, and so anywhere we go I run to a Walmart and look for the scrubs. But Nancy and I have bright turquoise scrubs pants.
that
And if
is
we
so
know we're not
funny.
meeting anybody or we're just, you know, doing Zoom calls, you don't know that I have the turquoise on. But I'll tell you what, animal, this is going to that power of pink. Turquoise makes everyone happy too.
Animals
Turquoise
love
has
it.
power. And can't believe I'm saying this, but it's true. Turquoise, as soon as I bring it up, it's bright, it's cheerful. The dark blue is trusting, confident, cool. It's good color for business, same as the gray. The gray can be, if it goes into the brownish side,
No,
people
the
start to
gray is
think,
not so good.
oh, that's now a little distrustful. It's murky, right? Murky
Okay.
watercolor. But the blue is always a trusting, calm color. Turquoise,
But then you
turquoise
don't
is now
know.
happy. We're
I know,
happy.
but
We're
then, but
bright. We're
then,
cheerful, like pink.
no, but that's your, are you taking on the color of the pants as part of your
Seriously,
personality?
every time I put
And
the turquoise pants on, I do a little skip, but no one has to see it. It's true.
alrighty then. So
Why
then how,
are we talking about this on a podcast?
so
Seriously.
there is
It's
something about color
interesting.
therapy and
There
flowers can
is.
be, we're going back, flowers can be therapy. With their
Absolutely.
colors.
Well,
There you go.
okay. So we're in the
We're
Pacific
back.
Northwest right now. We're in Oregon, right? And it is
Yeah.
cold, it's dreary, but there are plants around the house. And even the stripe of white from a spider plant can make you perk up. You know, people paint their houses bright colors versus gray in the Pacific Northwest. When we did pet sites in Washington State, we were out on the coast in ports and harbor areas, which was awesome and interesting, cold, but houses that painted themselves bright colors. It was like these
Say
ships.
hello, we're still happy.
Hello, we're here. We're bright and we're proud. And it was just like, no, we're not dreary just because the weather is doing this. And the places we go to that have this dreary, you know, I know you've been to Alaska, Margot, right? And these areas that we're talking about, Washington State and everything, they have these, well, Wisconsin, we've been through snow and all of that. But that weather happens so that you can have the most amazing spring and summers that you can never imagine and falls. So I'm just saying this weather has to happen. But there is such a thing as seasonal affective disorder. Dr. Norman Rosenthal has been on our show a few times over the years talking about transcendental meditation and then also this, where the weather can get you down. And he says light therapy is thing, a thing to
Yes.
change, put light on, right? And it's the same thing with plants. If you have a little bit of color, even if it is, I hate to say it, true, a fake plant, You're going to have to dust that off too, just like you have to dust the dust off your living plant because they don't want to be clogged in their pores with dust. Have that plant if you can do it. Have that orchid. The orchids are blooming in the winter, January through April. Every house should have an orchid. I don't have a thing to, and we're not getting sponsored by anybody on this, but that's the truth. It when they bloom in the middle of winter, the joy of that is pretty darn amazing.
Well, they're
So
such intricate flowers. They're so beautiful that you don't think you're qualified enough to grow them.
but you
You
are.
know, but
We've
you
learned on
are.
this show that you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you
But
go.
this,
That's our message.
there it is,
You can do
Margot.
it. Yes.
Margot, when you photograph, just I know you're mostly outdoors with the photography of nature. Does color pull you as a photographer?
Oh, all the time. I mean, color, light, like if the light is shining on it a certain way, my eye will go to it. If it's a bright color or an intricate color or a design, like multicolored flowers, or if, I don't know, it's interesting that you say, does it call to you? Because I'll be walking out in a garden and a specific flower, just my eye goes right to it. And it's almost as if that flower says, take my picture, just like an animal out in the field would say, take my picture, or don't take my picture, I am called to the flower for a lot of things, even the ge geometrical design, like I told you before. Yeah. So those are some of the main things.
And the stage of growth, like there's stages in flower growing, especially with annuals, like, okay, I'm growing up, I love spring green, and here's all my little leaves coming out. Then I get a blossom. Then the blossom blooms. That's second stage,
But
okay? The growth.
that's oh, it's so exciting. Sorry, I
Yeah,
get
so
excited.
now I have now, and then it lives through a season and a half of I'm full bloom, and here's my other blooms, and look at me, I'm beautiful. And then all of a sudden, the weather changes and the flower goes, okay, I'm out of here. And things start to fade and drop off and droop, right? And then people lose interest. But if you really look at the fading blossoms,
That's pretty too.
it's pretty too.
You guys,
I
you
get
have made
it's,
my flu go away, literally talking about
well, but
plants.
it no, because it
That's good.
symbolizes, even though it symbolizes this flower's done, there's rebirth on the on the horizon.
Yeah. And there's
You
new
know,
ones coming in all the time. And this
it drops
all, oh.
seed, the seed procreates, and the next season, here we come again.
Oh, so Nancy, you're
Unless
saying that
somebody
plants
disturbs
bring
it and
hope.
messes with it.
Plants bring hope.
Absolutely.
Because they do. That's kind of going full circle from the first, start of our conversation about the resiliency. And so that is what I'm going to go to with our quote of the day. Not the funny one, though that was funny. Quote of the day is from Confucius. An orchid in a deep forest sends out its fragrance, even if no one is around to appreciate it. So think about that. Like it still stands out. It goes, I'm beautiful and proud. It's like I dance when no one's looking. The same kind of thing.
I wanted to just say something about resilience
Sure.
because I saw it. I saw it this week. Actually, I saw it around New Year's. We all know what happened in Hawaii, and they had this beautiful, beautiful, very, very old ancient banyan tree, right where the fires were. And they worried that it wouldn't come back, that it died. Well, they're starting to see that there is green leaves starting to grow off the banyan tree. And even through that massive fire, that banyan tree is starting to come back. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah. It awesome. Gives me chills. Yeah.
Oh, chills. Okay. So we have a song of the day, and one of them, I didn't mean to put on, but I'm going to put, if I can find it on Spotify and YouTube, will be Banyan Tree. It's from Evan Ozan. Evan Ozan, we met him when he was a kid. And now he's, you know, a pilot and everything, and a skateboarder, you know, champion and everything. But he's a Native American flute player. And he went on a road trip, and just bringing back the parks, right? Him and his mom went on a road trip, and they stopped at the Grand Canyon, and he took his pocket money into a store, you know, the trinkets and souvenir shops, and bought a Native American flute and began playing. And he played. And like I can't tell, Margo, if you could ever have experienced him,
it's amazing.
He made lights go off. We helped organize a performance for him in Joshua Tree. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he got up, the lights went out. It was in Joshua Tree National Park.
They flickered
the lights
on
went out.
And off.
He, wherever he goes, the lights flicker. He was able to play the flute where there was a fly buzzing around. He buzzed a fly off and the flute was still playing. All I can say is we've seen him in Julian up in a building. The lights went off when he plays. So it's like it's sacred energy, truly sacred energy. So Ever Knows, and it's ozanmusic.com. So if it's not in the playlist in the link, I'll link that in the show notes, everyone. But Ever Knows, and Banyan Tree is, I'll send you that too, Margo, so you can hear it. It's beautiful. But the other song I'm bringing up is Black Orchid by Stevie Wonder, which also means I have to really just do the whole album. It's Journey Through the Secret Life of Plants. And this came out in the end of October 1979. And it was actually a soundtrack to the documentary, which this is crazy, which now I need to see the documentary because my favorite book on the planet is The Secret Life of Plants. Nancy knows. We have a small storage unit. We travel full time. We had to get rid of everything to do what we do because why have a bunch of stuff, right? And one of my favorite books of all time is The Secret Life of Plants.
It's because, so cool.
And this is why it is so cool. Is they, as an experiment, took a few leaves off a plant, cut them off the plant, put them on the side. This guy did it, the scientist guy, just put it there on this bedside table and meditated on these plants. Other person just put them aside and like, who cares about these leaves? Those died. This guy woke up and talked to the plants every day, meditated on them being fine and healthy. And this plant lived. Okay. And there's so many studies of how you talk to plants. I've talked to plants. I talk to the car that we drive and take across the country. I believe in communication and positivity. And the plants, they're so, oh my gosh, now I'm going to have to do a whole bunch of links. There's Sam from National Parks Arts Foundation who did a residency, and he put clamps on plants, little sound clamps, and played music through them with light, and the plants lit up and were happy versus when they weren't talked to and liked. Like, there's so many studies of plants that we are, they're communicators. Not only do they give us air that we breathe and need, they communicate. And if we're, there's like studies where people go and swear at a plant. They, like people have done that. Like, here's the plant that's not being sworn at, and here's a plant that's wanting the positive. The positive kids go and like, oh, you're so beautiful. They go to another plant and they swear at the plant and tell them how ugly it is. The plant dies. And it's like a reflection of who we are.
The energy we're sending to them.
Yeah, we're connected.
It's about
no matter
electronic impulses. That's what the world lives by.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to be woo-woo, but I am, but it's
No,
true.
you're being scientific too.
But it's scientifically proven. And the secret life of plants has also been, now I'm going to have to put a link in there about Zoe, who was also a park artist found, in residence through the National Parks Arts Foundation, who said, well, this is part of that book has been debunked by science, because science is always growing and learning. You think you know something at one time, and then you'll find something out later. And that is a very important thing to learn and know about as we go through climate change, is yes, things change. And so does science as we keep learning and growing. Isn't it important, ladies? I think it is that we do that, keep that. So anyway, so The Secret Life of Plants by Stevie Wonder is the song. The movie of the day, Wild Orchid, had to put it in there with, you know, Nicolas Cage. Just kind of crazy. People trying to steal an orchid. But anyway, that's the other thing. But we got the puzzle of the day from Margot. And thank you so much, Margot. We missed you. It's so good to have you on the show and just have fun talking about plants.
Yeah, my favorite subject.
Thank you. Everyone, keep up with Margot at margotcarrera.etsy.com. And of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. And thank you, Miss Nancy, too.
Thank you.
You all.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.